If you want to understand middle school Andrew, it's Styx. Styx and Pink Floyd. That would be the keys to unlocking the musical identity of 14-year-old Andrew McKay. 6:38 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I suspect the same is true of Doug Underhill. He is the commissioner for District 2, the southwest portion of Escambia County. Doug, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. I'm a little locked up here on the idea of 14-year-old Andrew McKay, but we'll work through that.
I had a Velcro shoe wallet with Styx emblazoned on the outside. Come on, top that.
Of course you did, man. You were a player.
Of course I did. I will take that as both the compliment and the insult that you meant it as. Okay, so a couple of reasons that we wanted to have you on here. The first one is you've got this ethics commission probe, basically where, you know, allegations were made about a whole bunch of, you know, relatively serious things about accepting donations for a vendor or county lobbyist, disclosing shade meeting information, services, gifts from legal services related to lawsuits against you, a whole host of things. They're fairly serious things, and they were alleged that you violated these things. The Ethics Commission has said, okay, there's enough evidence here to move forward, kind of similar to an indictment, not the same, but kind of similar to that, to a full investigation. How do you respond to the allegations?
Well, I think that, I mean, you used a very interesting word, a whole host of things, as we have seen for the last 7 years, with the lawsuits and investigations and stuff. And here's what I've always said. You should always investigate your public officials. Okay, we should always stand to the scrutiny of the people. So in 30 years in the Navy, I've never feared an inspection because excellence invites scrutiny. So I'm looking forward to the scrutiny of an investigation, which of course has much more rigor than a Facebook post. And at the end of those investigations on those things, I think that I'll be shown to have done my job properly and not do anything wrong. So look forward to that. And once it's done, then I'm sure we'll move on to the next holy host of accusations.
I know, like, the kind of the speculation in Escambia County that always goes along with this stuff. It goes something like this. Well, if he's found to have violated these things, it's $10,000 or whatever each time. Potential removal from office. You know, we always want to speculate about the worst-case scenario. Do you have any concern about either of those outcomes turning out to be the case?
No, not at all. I'm going to continue to do my job. I intended to come in here and be a disruptive leader in Escambia County politics, and I'm going to continue to do that until the last day that I'm in office, because that's what I promised to do.
Well, that's what I wanted to have you on. I know it's an ongoing thing, and I just wanted to give you a chance because it had been covered a lot in the news. I wanted to give you a chance to comment to the degree you wanted to. On a different note,
Absolutely,
and a completely different note, you're retiring from the Navy after 30 years. Is that right?
30 years, 20 or so active, and 10 as a reservist. I have truly enjoyed it. The reality is that command of the unit here in Pensacola has been my dream job. And after that, what else is there? So, I mean, that's a part of the equation. But the other part is that I really enjoy hanging out with Wendy. So I need to, between the commissioner job, which, of course, my political job is over a year from November, it's time to just start spending some time just enjoying myself. I've stood the watch. I've done the hard jobs that were put in front of me. And I've got a lot of work going on with the federal government and the cyber side. Spending time with my wife and spending time with on that, very important federal mission, I think that's really where my time needs to be spent.
How much are you going to miss it, though? I mean, I get the value choice, and I respect that choice, certainly. And obviously, I appreciate the service, which is, I know you don't usually talk much about what you do because you kind of can't. But some of the stuff you've done is pretty essential for keeping all of us and my family safe. But I know you. I think you're going to miss it tremendously.
Well, I already do, right? Because as an 05, I do the administrative job now, and you think that being the commanding officer is the top of the game. The reality is that being an E5 technician was the top of the game for me. And so I already miss being war is a young man's game, the reality is the next generation of sailors, they're better trained, they're smarter, they have a lot more information at their fingertips. Obviously, discipline is a little bit different. Emotional discipline is a little bit different than it was 30 years ago. But now these guys and girls that make up the Navy today, it's their turn. It's their time. And will I miss it? I mean, obviously, like all old veterans do, I'll probably walk around with a Navy hat and and talk about the good old days all the time. But no, I've gotten to do so much more. I got to fly off an aircraft carrier. I mean, who gets that, right? I got to learn Arabic for free. Who does that? Actually, it's not even free. They paid me to do that. Travel around the Middle East, do all the things I did. That's a life well spent. And so it's actually a blessing to have things in your life that you miss, because that means you did, things that had value.
And, if you can leave it easily, it means you waited too long to leave it, right?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, that's a very good point. As Wendy has often said to me, so what will you do when there are no more battles to fight for you? So I don't know, because I've always been the kind of person, as you've seen in my political life, that just wades, face first into a battle, because just the right thing to do.
face first, I think a lot of times that's a fair way to describe it. We're talking to Commissioner Doug Underhill, southwest corner of Escambia County, District 2. Have a question I wanted to ask you about redistricting. Obviously, this has become a flashpoint in the what would have otherwise seemed to be a fairly smooth process, though compacted time-wise. The county commission meeting recently became, interesting, I suppose. Commissioner Burgosh, District 1, has recommended he's waiting on the maps to come back from David Stafford's office, the supervisor of elections, but he has recommended a fairly radical redrawing of the county commission district lines in Escambia County, such that Perdido Key and Inverarity Island would move out of what is currently District 2, your district, into District 1, what is sort of his district. And I wanted to give, I know this, you guys vehemently disagree about this. He thinks he has history on his side, given how the district lines used to exist. How do you respond?
Well, we had four commissioners talk in very measured tones and have a very intelligent discussion about the very simple matter of redistricting, because it's actually not hard. I mean, it's very simple to see how to properly redistrict without politics. And then you had, Burgosh come flying in with that Godzilla tactic off the top rope and, hey, let's do something radical and crazy, because that's what gets attention and I guess drives people to the blog. But it just doesn't make any sense to go back 20 years. And you heard even Bender stood up, and said, so you think we should go back 20 years in order to go forward? Commissioner May made a joke about he's going to go ahead and try to get Pensacola Beach into District 3. I mean, it was literally that dumb of an idea. Nobody in Perdido and in Inverarity thinks that's a good idea. In fact, there's precincts, very close to Perdido that are in District 1 that need to move into District 2. Because they're part of the Perdido area. The equities in Perdido and the equities in Beulah are very different, and they should have different commissioners. So, I don't know. I mean, it's that typical thing of, instead of just, taking the easy work of politics, because most of this is easy. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to have the Godzilla stuff going on, but it's used as a diversionary tactic or as a way to, to needle a political foe. I'm not sure why he thinks I'm a political foe, but it's pretty important to him to needle me anytime he gets a chance.
So I'm, I don't favor this plan. I don't think it makes sense either, but I'm waiting to see what the final plan looks like to see if there might be some advantage to it. But I mean, Jeff is not a dumb guy. He's obviously got some idea here that makes sense to him. He was involved in the opening of the beach access that you were opposed to. He says he's got people from the district that support him. I mean, I know you guys vehemently disagree with this, but what I can't explain is, why does he want to do this? And do you have any sense of that? Or can you explain, can you even see an argument for what he's saying?
No, I think it's very personal. And one of the things that people have to remember about redistricting is it should never have anything to do with the incumbents, right? We're just passers through, temporary assignees to the seat. And it really shouldn't have anything to do with trying to protect incumbents or this kind of business. So when you hear a politician talking like that, they're telling you that their job is more important than your life. And so, it has very little value other than the needling. But I mean, Jeff hasn't even been able to get a majority in his own primaries in his own district. I mean, he's only been able to stay in because of a split vote with multiple candidates. So trying to use that there are some people that oppose me in my district. Of course there's people oppose me in my district. There are people oppose all of us in our districts because, you know, we're, it's a majority rule, but it doesn't mean that it's a that everybody else has to get in line. You know, we're rebels by nature, Americans are, and so we should, there's always going to be opposition, but you can't take that opposition and say, see, this guy is not, you know, he doesn't represent the people.
You know,
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, unfortunately, we're out of time, which is always the case. I know we have a lot of other stuff we could get to, but, you know, I wanted to give you a chance to address it, and, you know, several things I wanted to give you a chance to address this morning. I'm still, you know, I tend to lean your way. I think it doesn't make sense, but I'm still waiting to see what the plan is, because you never know where some plan may actually turn out, even if I can't see it in the initial phases, but we'll see how that looks. But I did want to make sure and say this, you know, 30 years career service in the Navy, doing things that I can't imagine. I really appreciate that, and I just want to say thank you on behalf of the community and the nation, because that really is an important thing.
Thanks, Andrew. People always say thanks for your service, and the reality is I know what a punk I was before the Navy got a hold of me. So I owe more to the Navy and the nation than I ever gave to it. I'll always be indebted to the Navy and to America for the opportunity to serve. So you know, it's been, woo-hoo, what a ride, you know. It's pretty awesome.
I love that summary. Doug Underhill, Commissioner for District 2, thanks so much for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks.